on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. We're going to begin today with this month's installment of the Accountability Index, our series with reporters from the Baltimore Brew, in which we examine issues of fiscal and policy accountability in state and local government. We began this series back in November. We talked about construction delays and budget overages on local road projects. We've talked about the status of Baltimore's audit process and the new development in Port Covington being proposed by Kevin Plank and Under Armour. This morning, Mark Reuter of the Baltimore Brew joins me to talk about campaign financing in this very crowded race for mayor of Baltimore. Last year, former Mayor Sheila Dixon submitted 133 amendments to previous reports that she had given to the Maryland State Board of Elections to correct errors in those reports that date back 10 years. We'll talk about that. We'll also check on what other candidates are raising and where their money is coming from. Good morning, Mark. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So the amount of money raised this cycle in 2016 is a lot more than in 2011. How does it compare?
Overall, for the candidates, well, there's six major candidates in the Democratic primary, and so far, and we're still, those reports came in late last month, so we're still have 2 months where money is going to pile up. But so far, looking at the total amount is $2.4 million in contributions. And then there's a $1 million loan from one of the candidates, David Warnock, to himself. So that totals $3.4 million, and that is more than the total amount spent by the candidates for the mayoralty in 2011.
We've already exceeded 2011.
We've already exceeded.
And there's a lot more money to be spent and raised between now and
raised
April
and spent,
26th.
Yes.
Yeah. So about a week ago, news shifted to Sheila Dixon's campaign finance report. The Sun reported, and you have written about this as well, that Ms. Dixon has filed 133 amendments to her financial disclosure statements. The Dixon campaign says that they discovered these errors. They were caused by a software problem switching from one software program to another. As soon as they discovered them, they fixed them. You've looked into this. On its face, 133 amendments, it seems like a lot. How does, for example, in terms of numbers of amendments, how does that compare to any of the other candidates and their financial
Well, the other, disclosure? You know, politicians who are sitting, politicians so have submitted annual reports to the state. There's three of them, Kathy Pugh, Nick Mosby, and Carl Stokes, who are running. They've each submitted one or two amendments in recent years. So it's quite a different situation.
Yeah, so 133 amendments from the Dixon campaign. Can you explain why she had to make so many corrections in this last filing?
Well, these changes were actually made a year ago. They're now reflected, but they were made a year ago, not long before she announced her candidacy. They date back to 2006, and they not only corrected each year's report, but the strangest pattern, in fact, Common Causes has said this is the strangest filings we've ever seen. This is Maryland Common Cause, is because there were amendments to amendments to amendments. So actually, you find when you go into the state's records that each of those roughly 10 years, there's anywhere from 11 to 14 or 15 amendments for each year that stretched over a two-month period. So, and because of how it's been set up, it's really almost impossible to figure out what was amended because there's no requirement for the candidate to state clearly to the state elections board or to the public, I made this mistake, which I am correcting, as you would expect a narrative. Instead, the reports come back. These are 100-plus page reports come back with amendments somehow embedded in them. The software company she's used is the standard one that almost all campaigns in the United States use, NGP VAN. But there's been some changes, mainly in that what used to be filings by date have been changed to filings by alphabetical name of the party. So you really can't even look back at these amendment and original statements and compare them because they're now ordered in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And she's saying that that was part of the problem when the software.
No, she just said that there were software problems. We haven't gotten any real details there. Mm-hmm. That expenses. Her campaign, and she says that the main issue here is that there were more expenses than she recorded, and that those weren't being transferred properly onto the state's software, that there was a transmission problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, she's basically saying that once these mistakes were noticed, they acted quickly to correct them. But one of the results of this is that she was, and as you reported last week in an article in The Brew, that she was overstating what her campaign had on hand by about $200,000. This is significant in terms of political strategy. She's a well-known person. Her name recognition certainly higher probably than any other candidate. She announced early, she was the first person really to announce that she was running for mayor. And if she announces early and says, I got all this money in the bank, that was clearly meant to sort of scare some other people away. Not that that worked. She's got 12 opponents.
Well, she actually had to the state election board corrected it by then, but that was not something that was really known, because these amendments, it's such an obscure process that it's not something that's on the radar screen of virtually anyone. But Tom, to explain the kind of strangeness of these filings, as Common Cause calls it, she had been reporting that she had $200,000 more in her campaign coffers, not only recently, but it goes back to since the time she resigned in 2010. There were 6 full years and 6 annual reports, you know, which are legal documents, that had this erroneous information.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Sheila Dixon campaign cites a blog called Baltimore Rising, which was one of the sources for the Sun story and one of the first sources of people who started raising questions about this. Mm-hmm. And she, the Dixon campaign describes this blog as an anti-Dixon organization. It is a 501c4 organization, meaning it is a PAC. It's a political PAC. It's not a charitable organization. The blog is anonymous. But as you look at the filings for the other candidates, anything strike you as being interesting?
Well, going back to the blog first pointed out these discrepancies now around 2 weeks ago and started writing on them. They were what alerted the Sun and us and other media to this, and I congratulate them for that. What they were alerting us to is these hundreds of pages of reports and amendments that The Brew, at least, has gone back and meticulously looked through these 133 amendments. And our conclusions and our stories are not based on that blog and their take on that.
Yeah, you actually spent hours and hours with these documents
I spent around 3 full days looking at it. And one of the big frustrations is that I don't think anyone can really figure this out in a coherent way. Therefore, what Common Cause has called on former Mayor Dixon to do is release her bank statements. These reports are all, the campaign accounts are in the Harbor Bank, and they have monthly statements, and the monthly statements going back the last few years would clear this up, whether there indeed was, you know, what was the amount of money? Was it $300,000 or was it $77,000 as they eventually reported?
And you asked her last Wednesday at a candidate forum in Mount Vernon at the Belvedere Hotel whether or not she would be willing to release those bank statements. She initially said no, and then by the end of the conversation, it looks like she said she'd talk to her lawyer and think about it.
Right. So far, there's been no word from the campaign on whether to do that.
Mm-hmm. So we got a few minutes left here. Let's talk about some of the other campaigns you mentioned. David Warnock lent himself about $1 million.
He did.
So he's certainly got plenty of money on hand. How about Catherine Pugh? She was reported to have raised more than anybody else in this last reporting period.
State Senator Pugh has raised $650,000 through mid-January, which is a huge amount. It's a huge amount for her. She's a veteran politician, city council, been state senator for ages. She ran 2 previous times for mayor. The last time she lost to Rawlins Blake, she raised only around half of what she raised in this first segment of the race. So She has a lot of what we would almost call Annapolis money. We've been looking into this and reporting it. And a lot of it you can almost call Mike Miller money, who is the president of the Maryland Senate, and she is the his right-hand man. So it makes a certain amount of sense. Local institutions, the University of Maryland, personnel there, doctors, administrators, put in a substantial, around $24,000-$25,000 into the Pew campaign in this segment. And BG&E Exelon have put in around an equal amount.
Mm-hmm. So certainly some ties to the corporate and the academic university committee.
Right. And again, Pew has been a trustee for the University of Maryland for the last 15 years. So that does make some sense that she has a lot of connections there.
Real quick, how about Elizabeth Embry? She's been raising a lot of money. She's just started a television ad this week.
Last week, rather. She has raised a surprisingly large amount of money. She comes in really tied at number two so far, slightly behind, tied basically with Sheila Dixon. They're both a little over $400,000. Embry's contributors are really kind of a roll call of North Baltimore, Roland Park, and some of the kind of just wealthy developers, philanthropists.
All right. So we will certainly keep an eye on it. The next report comes out a week from tomorrow. So March 1st, we'll know a little bit more. And then we'll have a couple of other reporting periods before the primary in April, it looks like. So you will keep up on it, and we will keep up with you. Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you. Mark Reuter of the Baltimore Brew. It's a daily news website featuring investigative reporting and informed commentary about Baltimore and the region. This is the fourth installment of our monthly series, The Accountability Index. We've got more information and a link to the brew on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up a little later, Senator Cory Booker on uniting the body politic. And after a break for the news, we'll do a little trash talking. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning on 88.1. Here's Nathan.